was music by one. You know, I didn't even look this up. Last name Perti. What's the first name?
Giacomo.
Giacomo. Well, of course.
Antonio.
You have to be. Music. It's so much for my research this morning, huh? Or this afternoon. And a sonata for four trumpets by Giacomo Perti and a performance by trumpeter Helmut Vobisch, along with one of, I presume, Adolf Holler. They listed a bunch of other trumpeters because there's music for up to four trumpets on this particular CD. And I Solisti di Zagreb is the name of the ensemble. Antonio Gianigro, the conductor, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the program today. And the voice you heard, besides my own a moment ago, is that of Chester Always, who is the music director of the Baroque Artist of Champaign-Urbana. And I played that music as sort of a substitute for a piece that is going to be on their Christmas concert coming up this Sunday by Giacomo Perti. But there's no recording of it that I can find or that Chet can find. But nonetheless, apparently a piece that he thinks is worth doing. So we'll come to that in a moment. But first, Chet, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
The details, Sunday night, 7:30, Holy Cross Catholic Church. It's the location, has been the location for all of the Baroque Artists' Christmas concerts.
11 years now.
Yeah. Is that how many?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just was thinking you'd done them for all the years you've been around.
Nope.
And this is your 17th season, right?
Yeah. We started in 2001.
Wow. But they've all been at Holy Cross Catholic Church.
Yep.
It's a splendid location for these things to happen, the Baroque Christmas, call it. And those who haven't been there, tell them the formula.
It's a three-ring circus.
Yeah.
The three acts. The first act is the Uni High Madrigal singers in costume, who sing about 20 minutes or so of seasonal songs. They do it very well. It's a big draw and makes a nice festive way to start the thing.
And then Uni High is University High School in
Urbana. And Rick Murphy is the director of that group, though he doesn't conduct them, as I recall. They sing without conductor. But they're always quite good. And then the other two-thirds of the package are a kind of an opening half of art music, and then the second half is sort of a, I got the idea from Paul McCreesh, who's done a lot of historical reconstruction recordings. He did one of a Christmas Mass in Dresden with Pretorius. And I got the idea this would be fun to do. So for the past number of years, we've been having the audience participate and do a variety of familiar and not so familiar Christmas pieces, and they get a chance to sing along, and that'll be the case too. So the centerpiece, or the middle part, our first part, are two pieces by composers, neither of whom have any of their works, choral works, recorded. And it's a little odd in a way, but there's a long story which I won't get into about how that happened. The first is a cantata by Friedrich Wilhelm Zachow, who may, in all likelihood, be a very distant relative of Barbara Zachow, who sings with us.
And directs the chorus at Parkland College.
Mm-hmm. And his main claim to fame was that he was Handel's teacher in Halle. And after doing some of his music, I can see why Handel didn't stay there any longer than he absolutely had to, but got to Hamburg and then on to Italy. Zachow is a very, very fine workmanlike cantor, you know, but it's not thrilling music, very typical North German church music. So it's a cantata in six movements, the first and last of which are choral, and the four intervening are solo versions. They're all based on a chorale, and so it's kind of like theme and variations. But I think it's an attractive piece.
And it's called Vom Himmel kam der Engel Schar. From heaven came the
heavenly
angel
host. Yeah.
Host. Schar,
yeah,
is the word,
yeah,
I didn't
multitude.
Know.
Yeah, multitude. And so we have four wonderful solos for that. Perla Robertson is singing the soprano, and Chris Holman, countertenor, is doing the alto. Lee Steiner is the tenor, and the bass is Daniel Borup.
Yeah, that's a nice bunch of
right.
of singers who regularly sing with you in the
right.
choir.
Three of the four, yeah.
Three of the four, the one mm-hmm. who doesn't is Lee Steiner,
Lee,
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. And the other unknown piece we hinted at is that by this fellow, Perti.
And I stumbled on this piece because I had a doctoral student, John Cox, whom you know, who edited this piece along with several others for his doctoral dissertation. And when I saw the piece, I thought, this would really be spiffy. It's a jubilant, festive piece. It's got nice solo stuff. The choral parts are not typically very hard. And it's a really happy, fun piece to sing. As you heard from the recording we listened to of the trumpet piece, Perti worked in San Petronio, the big basilica in Bologna. And that place was in the 17th and 18th century was a center, sort of the center of really a trumpet composition. And so it was not, they had two organs sort of like San Marco in a way, but both in the rear gallery. And so they often had antiphonal brass music that was composed and performed there. And that's certainly the case. This piece is scored for two trumpets, no timpani, no winds, and strings. And it's kind of typically Italian at sectional contrast, but a very attractive setting of the words of the Magnificat.
And you mentioned San Marco, St. Mark's in
Venice
mm-hmm. which was famous back in the early Baroque for its antiphonal music.
Right.
So I don't think I knew they had two organs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So one on each side of
the
church,
and,
essentially.
And now we know, I mean, current scholarship says that, oh, no, it was never done that way. This Greg Smith famously tried to record Gabrieli back in the 80s, and his travails have been well documented, but they couldn't keep it together because there's a span of like 75 feet between the two galleries, and it's very rich acoustic. And we now know, due to the scholarship of James Moore, that in fact these pieces were done at the front of the church, one choir on the floor and one choir up in a pedestal above them. So not nearly the problems of...
Not from side to side.
No.
I remember in a church, the name of which I can't remember now, in Chicago, I got involved many years ago when I lived there in conducting an antiphonal thing in a pretty big church from two different sides, you know, two different side balconies, and nothing the size of St. Mark's, but that was difficult on its own.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I could appreciate how that might be a bit of a challenge. Well, the section one of the pieces that you've done before, you do occasionally repeat things at these programs.
It's always a little different. There's always a twist, but a lot of stuff is refreads.
So you have a couple or three or four pieces by Michael Praetorius on this mm-hmm. concert, and you've done some of those before. Mm-hmm. One of the repeats is a piece called Puer Natus in Bethlehem, which means
a child is born in Bethlehem.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Right.
So this was done, what is this concert? Which year is this concert from that I
have? It's on the back of the case.
What does it say? Oh, this is a compilation of recordings from mm-hmm. 2002 to 2007.
I think it was 2007 we did that.
Oh, this one does say right on the program, December 2007,
yeah.
Well, why don't we give a listen to some of this.
Okay.
The soloists on the occasion were Laurie Matheson, who's still with the group, Desiree Hassler, who has left town.
Gone on to greater things.
Yeah, she's working up in Chicago. Don Armstrong, the bass, is he's
still singing
with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Chester Always conducting the choir and orchestra in
mm-hmm.
this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana, who will give this year's Christmas concert, Baroque Christmas concert, Sunday night at 7:30 in Champaign. This is Live and Local.
Thank you.
Well, there you got a substantial sample of the sound of the Baroque artists of Champaign Urbana under the direction of Chester Alwis, who will be giving their annual Baroque Christmas concert this coming Sunday night at 7:30 at Holy Cross Catholic Church in Champaign. And in fact, that performance came from the equivalent concert 5 years ago, December of 2007, in the same place. Laurie Matheson and Desiree Hassler, the soprano soloist, Donald Armstrong, the bass soloist. And, you know, I've heard the group many times, and the choir is always especially fine. And I don't know which trumpet players you had that year, but you always managed to find some really good ones.
One of them was Reese Land, and he was especially good.
Oh, I do remember Reese Land.
Yeah, he was playing the top trumpet obbligato in that piece.
Well, I know the last couple, 3 years, you've had a fellow named Sid Schuler, who's a wonderful piccolo.
And Aaron now. Player.
Aaron Rahm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty important. If you're going to do Baroque music, you better have good trumpet players.
And we're lucky we do have. So
yeah. So that piece, in fact, that we just heard will be on the concert tonight,
mm-hmm.
Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Chet Alwis is with me for this portion of our program. Coming up, we have Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus. They're giving their winter concerts also this weekend, two performances. And neither of them conflicts with the Baroque Artists concert. So you can go do
embarrassment
all
of riches
it if you want. Exactly. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Chet, on this concert, you have, you know, the quote-unquote caroling portion, where the choir does some on its own and the audience inviting to join in. You have often done German ones or English ones or French ones.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like this year's a bit of a mix-up.
It's a bit of a mix-up, yeah. We've tried theme-based ones, and some worked better than others. The French was a lot of fun for us, but I think a lot of people in the audience found them challenging.
Because of French
pronunciation. The language,
I
think they were delightful, but the English stuff certainly was very popular. But the German things are what people best know, and if they know a foreign language, they most likely know German Christmas music, Lohau Rose are blooming, and that kind of thing. So we tend to come back to that as a standby. But this year, as you point out, we've expanded it a little bit, doing Angels We Have Heard on High, which is basically a French piece, although we're doing it in English, and Joy to the World, which is an English piece, which makes a wonderful ending to the program. And then also we're doing, which I think is where you're headed, a couple of pieces that aren't Baroque music, which is a little bit outside the usual realm.
Well, how did that happen?
Sheer orneriness, stubbornness. the chorus really enjoyed last summer singing Leah Garland by Pierre Saul, and that made me think of In Dulce Jubilo. So we're doing his arrangement of that, which a wonderful English setting of the carol. And then I wanted to do O Heiland Reis die Himmel auf by Brahms. I calculated that I have not done that piece since 1973.
Wow.
And it's been gestating a long time, and it's a wonderful piece. The chorus has really enjoyed working on it, and they're getting the hang of it. It's not an easy piece, though.
Oh, Savior, tear the heavens open. Am I giving the right text?
That's right.
Tear, down from heaven flow, tear from heaven gates and doors, tear off every lock and bolt. I assume that we're doing this out of some sort of form of joy.
Well, it's an Advent.
Exactly.
It's an Advent text, and so it's summoning God down to break down all the opposition. And we're also doing another piece that is new, but German, Hammerschmidt's setting of Mache die Tore weit, which is similar. So those two kind of go together.
Well, let's hear at least a portion of the Brahms piece. This is a performance by, I know, a favorite choir of yours, the RIAS Chamber Choir. Conducted by Marcus Creed.
This is the best performance available.
Music by Johannes Brahms.
Thank you.
That's a portion of a motet by Johannes Brahms in a performance by the RIAS Chamber Choir led by Marcus Creed. O Heiland, reiß die Himmel auf. Tear the heavens. And that's going to be performed by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, their chorus, on Sunday night at 7:30, part of their Baroque Christmas concert, although that not Baroque Christmas music, or even Baroque any kind of music, as Chet always indicated. Chet is the director of the Baroque Artists. Their concert is Sunday night at 7:30, Holy Cross Catholic Church in Champaign, certainly an annual event. And you indicated that the audience who participate in the singing mm-hmm. in the later portion do so with a reasonable amount of gusto.
Yeah.
And people come out, pour out for this thing.
Well, it's a happening. You know, it's a kind of a homecoming. People are here for the holidays, and people see people. We have real trouble getting out of intermission and getting the concert restarted because people are busy visiting. But it's really a very warm and wonderful time. So I think people really enjoy it, and I think anybody that comes for the first time would also, you know, feel right at home.
Well, anybody who wants more information on the Baroque Artists can go to, I think it's just baroqueartists.org. Mm-hmm. And are you able to order tickets there?
Yes. You can still order tickets online, and they will be available at the door.
At the door. And the door is Holy Cross Catholic Church, located on 405 West Clark Street in Champaign. The concert starts at 7:30 with the University High School Madrigal Singers in Elizabethan costume. And then the Bach Chorus and Orchestra will perform under Chet Always's direction. Thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for a performance by members of Amasong, who are giving their concerts for this winter season, late fall season, this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, at McKinley Presbyterian Church. Here is another of the carols that will be on the concert by the Baroque Artists. Happens to be a favorite arrangement of mine by R.L. Pearsall, who Chet mentioned earlier. This is his setting of In Dulce Jubilo with the choir of New College, Oxford, led by Edward Higginbottom on Live and Local. Carol, a familiar carol, as arranged by R.L. Pearsall and performed by the Choir of New College, Oxford. Edward Higginbottom conducting here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow and Sunday are the annual winter concerts by Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus. They are at 7:30 tomorrow and at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, both of them at McKinley Presbyterian Church, which is their usual home on South 5th Street in Champaign. And they're calling the concert the Tree of Life. We'll find out why, because we have at least one of their interim directors with us, Heidi Weatherford, and two of their interim directors.
Okay,
Jill Crandall. I didn't know who the other ones were. And I've met Heidi before, but nice to see you, Jill. And we have, about 12, 14 members of Amasong with us right now. And the reason there's an interim director is that their previous one left town. Somebody got a job and another job. And so in any event, thanks for coming in. And Heidi, thanks for contacting me.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for having us.
What's the search process like, just out of curiosity?
Oh, funny you should ask. The search process has been going along all semester, and we have found a director for next semester, and I'll let you know that at the end of this program.
Oh, you mean you actually let us know who it is?
Yes.
They know, I assume.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Wow, this would be really exciting if it's the big revelation to them, too, but this will be the big revelation still, right? No public announcement before this?
No, not really. Okay. I'm sure there's scuttlebutt about, but we're going to actually publicly announce it at the concerts, but we're going to give the live and local audience a prior.
That's fantastic.
So pledge, because you get advanced knowledge, and it's worth it to be a member of WILL.
Oh, nicely done. Hey. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. You want to be on our payroll?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can get as much as the rest of us get. Well, why don't we just launch into a song? What do you want to start with?
One of the directors, Melinda Higley, is works for the U of I in the geology department, so therefore could not be here today, and she's still working. So we're going to sing one of the songs that she introduced to us. That's a lovely piece called Silence My Soul, based on a poem written by Rabindranath Tagore, and the soloist in this is Beth Watkins.
Silence my soul.
That's the sort of piece that could be a chorister's bliss and a director's nightmare, potentially, or the other way around. I don't know what the music says, but I imagine it says something like, somebody sing this line, somebody sing this line, somebody sing this line, whenever you feel like it, and make it sound somewhat organized and keep it in tune and all
yeah,
that
pretty
business.
Pretty much it's leader, chorus, ostinato. At your tempo, you know, and everybody is supposed to choose a different tempo, so it's fun. And
well, it's remarkably effective. I mean, even in a small space like this, and I imagine in the space where you'll be performing, McKinley Presbyterian, which is always a wonderful space to sing or play in, it should be especially effective, I think.
And I forgot to say that the composer of that was Francisco Feliciano.
And you said it was kind of discovered, or at least found for the choir by one of your
three interim directors? I
actually
think he was one of Melinda Higley's professors, but I'm not entirely certain about that. So we have special permission to perform it from him, and it's not a fully published piece yet.
Oh, so there's a little bit of a scoop going on here as well for Amazong.
Yes.
Members of Amazong who performed here on Live and Local, I'd say under the direction of Heidi Weatherford, but she just sort of said go on that in that case.
Oh no, I was just motioning to Jill Crandall to come up here because she's going to direct the next piece.
How do you, when you have an interim period, and there have been several interim periods between directors for Emma Song over the years after having a particularly long tenure from your very first director, and then some short ones and a little longer one, I think, from Megan Smith. How do you go about the interim? You know, how is it decided who gets to direct then?
Coin flip.
coin flip?
Just kidding. Yeah. They had an interim search committee, and they did talk to several candidates. What we had originally hoped was that we would have a year-long interim, but the folks that we were hopeful were most interested were not available. And we happen to be very lucky in that this chorus has a great variety of musical talent, from folks who do not yet read music to those who have professional degrees in music. And it just so happened that this particular year we have probably more than three people in the choir who have conducting experience. And so the three of us stepped forward and just said we would do it for this semester, and here we are.
I know, Heidi, you've done it at least once before.
I have. The previous time, however, we picked lots of favorites of Emma Song that folks already knew. This program is much more ambitious because the majority of the music the choir did not know before we started.
Well, let's talk about the program. You're calling it the Tree of Life. Why that title?
Actually, this title was something that Megan came up with. She was asked before she left. She did follow her husband, who took a great job in Cleveland. And she was asked to create a program for the chorus. And she came up with the Tree of Life with the idea that such great poetry and music about trees, and trees in very many ways illustrate and are examples of how humans live. We reach for the sky, we dig our roots deep, we drink up as much water as we can, we breathe in, we breathe out, and our life can be shown on our bark, on our skin, in the way we show forth ourselves to the world. And so we thought it was a good theme to keep on with. And so mostly the program actually reflects life cycles, you know, birth, death, rebirth, love, romance, connection, spirituality.
All the various elements of life, I guess.
Absolutely.
And life as it grows up and down. And
And this particular program, instead of having introductions and translations, we are interspersing several of the pieces with poetry. So there will be less talking about the music, but different poetic offerings. And we're excited to see how that works. It's something a little new for us.
Is your usual translator reader going to be reading
yes,
the poetry?
Yes, Norma is going to be reading the poetry.
Norma Marder.
That's right.
Who is a writer herself.
That's right.
And always reads these things very expressively.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So the song we did, how does that fit into the theme? And then introduce the next one as well in the same context.
Well, the words are, "Silence my soul, these trees are prayers. I asked the tree, tell me about God, and it blossomed," which is the first piece in the set, as you will, of the spirituality pieces. And following that will be a piece by Hildegard von Bingen, and a piece of then one we're going to sing in just a few minutes by a Georgian hymn. So that have to do with leafy branches and Mary as the vine and Mary as the tree of life. This next song we're going to do is the second song on the program, and it actually talks about the cycle of life, as I was explaining it earlier, and it's entitled Round and Round, and it's a chant that Megan picked up from Libana, and Jill's going to direct that one.
Who, Libana?
Libana is a group of women who sing songs from all over the world. So,
members of Emma Song live in our studio, giving us a bit of a preview of their Tree of Life concerts, which are tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in Champaign, here on Live and Local.
Round and round the earth is turning, turning, all is round, it's turning, turning.
members of Amasong live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I'm a little sleepy today, so I failed to write down the name of the person who directed.
Oh,
what's your name again?
Jill Crandall.
Jill Crandall, thank you. Sorry about that. My apologies.
It's all right.
One of the
it's
interim
a good
directors.
Name to know because Jill will be our director next semester. She's
oh,
the next
is that
permanent
a fact?
Director.
How about that? Well, I will remember then. It's now written down. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So that's the big announcement, folks. Boy, you just snuck that right in there. No fanfare. So you heard it here first, folks. Starting after this concert. You know, I'm actually kind of curious. The choir, when it was first formed, clearly took on the personality, as it were, influenced by the personality of its first director, and then the next couple of directors probably weren't around long enough for the choir to have taken on that personality, so to speak. Megan Smith here for a little longer. Once you've let somebody go, or rather someone has left, I'm just curious from some of the singers, how do you respond? The rest of the other two can sort of close off your ears here, but do you have particular challenges when suddenly that person is gone and you have to pay attention to Jill and you have to pay attention to Heidi and you have to pay attention to who's the other person
they're
paying? Melinda. How do you react?
Well, it's a challenge because each one's style is a little bit different. So you really have to, it probably took about a month and a half before we could really figure out exactly what they wanted when they did a particular thing.
When you say did a particular thing,
a direction,
when their hand did
their
something.
Hands or Jill tends to be she talks very widely with her hands, and sometimes it's like, okay, slow down, what do you want? And then she figures that out and she explains it, and Heidi's tends to, her motions are a little smaller, and she's a little more vocal, and Melinda's somewhere in between. So for me, it was a learning process for each one.
And then you have to adjust during the course of rehearsals and then especially during the course of the concert.
Yeah.
Anne.
Well, I'm the person that's been with the chorus the longest, and I've been under every single director, so I'm speaking from experience, and I want to say two things. One is the three directors this semester have done a fantastic job of working together, and it's really not easy for three people, each of whom could be a director herself, to work with the other ones, and I've particularly watched how they share time, and they've been very respectful of each other, and they've worked together very well, and I think that's been to everybody's credit. And then the other thing is, yes, the chorus has takes on what the director brings, but the chorus is bigger than any one person. And having been around from the beginning, Christina was such a strong director and such a strong personality, people were afraid that when she left, the whole thing would just fall apart. But a lot of people worked really hard to make sure that that didn't happen. And in fact, it did not happen, and we've continued on. So I think there's a life in the spirit of Amasong that is bigger than any individual director. So it really is a community. So that's what I have to say.
That concept sort of fits the Tree of Life theme.
Yeah.
Well, and just the fact, I mean, in my promotion for today's show, you know, I used the full term of Amasong, Champaign Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus, and then said that name has various meanings, you know, and significances and so on. And I would presume that in that spirit, I would hope that all the directors would work together. And I mean, I would just sort of assume certain things from that spirit. But I'm kind of curious to know how the name of the chorus, what meaning does it have beyond the obvious literal sense of what it says for some of you in the choir? Because it clearly is, as Anne just said, it's more than a director. It's more than your average choir. There's a spirit that runs through the group.
So I chaired the search committee that eventually made the recommendation to the board that we hire Jill. And one of the things, I've been in the chorus for about 4 years now, one of the things that became clear to me in the process of the search that maybe I hadn't known before was that there is in fact a history and a repertoire for gay and lesbian choruses in this country. And it's not really a history and a repertoire that are necessarily taught in choral PhD programs, but certainly it's a grassroots movement that has been pretty significant. And I was largely ignorant of that when I joined the chorus. I joined the chorus because I liked that it was women singing like women and not singing like children and singing interesting world music. And I think through the process of choosing a new director, that's a process of questioning our identity, a process of figuring out who we are, what our values are, what are important to us about the chorus. I imagine everyone would have a fairly different answer to that question. But for me, the experiences of realizing not just that there is a whole history in this country of gay and lesbian choruses, and that Amazon has played an important role in that. We actually will be in 2014 hosting the International Choral Festival for the Sister Singers Network. And that's a network of women's choirs that actually, we learned recently, began in Champaign-Urbana. So there is a sort of interesting circle of life in our hosting this chorus festival at Cranard in a couple of years.
So the term you used, the word you used when your attraction to this choir was women singing.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially sort of regardless of the other terms in the name of the choir. Women singing as women and everything that women can be, whatever that means.
Sure.
Is that in reaction to, in part, in your experience, in reaction to other choirs you've sung in? That either may have been all women's choirs or not?
I don't know if it's, for me, it was not necessarily in reaction to other choirs that I've sung in so much as the repertoire of Amazon is so diverse and interesting. And I thought it was kind of cool that a chorus could identify as lesbian feminist. As a feminist, I thought, oh, hey, what would that mean? What would it be like to be part of an organization that its primary purpose is to make music, but also has a political identity as well?
Somebody else, what does that mean?
Being a lesbian feminist chorus?
Yeah.
Well, originally it started out, if anybody knows Christina's history, it started out her way of being able to make good music and be supportive of the lesbians in the community. And they eventually added the feminist part with a slash, not either or, but, well, it's either or, not one or the other, or one in place of the other. So we can be both, we can be one or the other. But I think that's how it started out. And over the years, as Christina was a lesbian, I think that's what she attracted, but we don't, it's different now. But it's still women who want to sing women's music compellingly and in the best way they can. So we celebrate women's lives every day.
And I know that at least in seasons past, for much of the history, it's included not only, there would be music specifically by, for, and about women.
Right.
Or about issues that affect women in mm-hmm. some way or another.
Still is.
Which you can hear at the concerts this weekend. Tomorrow night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, McKinley Presbyterian Church on South 5th Street in Champaign, Amazon's Winter Concerts. And we have a chunk of the choir here. How many do you have in the group total currently?
About 38.
About 38. So we have maybe a third of the group, mm-hmm. something like that. It's sounding good. What do you want to do next? I think this will be our last selection.
I think so, too. And we're going to sing Shenkar Venaki, which is a Georgian hymn from medieval Georgia.
And we're not talking about the state of Georgia. But
right. We're talking about the country. And what's so fun and interesting about this particular hymn is that it survived the Tsarist rulers who sought to make all the music become more Russianized and therefore Europeanized. And yet they got away with singing this because it talks about you are the vineyard, and the assumption was it was a wedding song, when actually it's a hymn to the Virgin Mary. So, and they got through under the radar that way. So it's a great story of survival. And it comes to us again from Georgia. And this particular arrangement is by Kitka, who specializes in Georgian music, especially as sung by women.
Members of Amazon, live on Live and Local. Members of Amazon under the directorship, interim directorship of Heidi Weatherford, as she will soon hand off the reins to Jill Crandall starting next semester. Thank you all very much for coming in today, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and hope the concerts are well attended and full of spirit and life and so on. It's called the Tree of Life, the concert this week, the concert this weekend, Saturday 7:30, Sunday at 4 o'clock, McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. For more information, you can go to their website, which is
www.amazong.org.
Amazong.org, AMASONG.org. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Here are some other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area this weekend. The Center for the Community Center for the Arts in downtown Urbana is giving its faculty benefit concert at Bouvons in Urbana this evening at 6:30. Community Players Theater in Bloomington are presenting Irving Berlin's White Christmas tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. At Millikan University, it's Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead at the Pipe Dreams Studio Theater in Decatur. That's tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Sunday at 2 and 8 o'clock. The Urbana Country Dancers Contra Dance with Matt Torino is at Phillips Recreation Center in Urbana. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. And Bah Humbug Productions presents the best Christmas pageant ever at Parkland College Theater tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks very much for joining us for the show. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.